You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, December 8th, 2023. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com and wrapping up your work week. Or at least I hope. I hope you don't have to work this weekend. If you do, it's okay. Lots of people have to because we don't honor the weekends anymore. He used to be the common working man. He could just go about his week and look forward to the weekend. And even that has been taken away. More and more businesses, even on holidays, stay open. The working man gets no break. But hopefully you got the weekend off. And regardless, I'm glad you tuned in to wrap up on this Friday with us here at Radio Albion for the Daily Nationalist. As always, I like to start these shows off reminding you about our Sven Longshank support links here. I've got his latest mailing address, the new facility. I've been in contact with him via the email, which I recommend if you're international especially. It saves you the delay and the trouble of getting international mail over there. I mean, it's not a huge deal. You get those international forever stamps and you can mail it, but it is, you know, time consuming. But regardless, please drop him a note, especially this time of the year where, you know, you need to be sending him those Christmas cards now. I'm going to try to remember, and I probably will forget because my brain is in so many places at one time. I'm going to try to, from here to Christmas, remind y'all all the way to the end of the month, even if it's past Christmas. But really, now is the time. Start mailing him a Christmas card. You know, this is that time of the year. A lot of people get depressed this time of the year for whatever reason. But it is that time of the year when you're thinking about friends and family. And Sven can't be with his friends and family. And I mean, yes, I've been in communication with him. He seems to be doing pretty well, all things considered. But it doesn't change the fact that he's by himself, locked in a cell, and he can't be with his friends and family at this time of the year. This is, if you haven't sent him a note, or if you have and you just haven't gotten around to sending him anything else, look, now is the time. Fill out those Christmas cards. Send him something, you know, nice. Send him a nice Christmas card to remind him that we haven't forgot about him. We're thinking about him. And he may be alone in that cell, but he's not alone in spirit. And we were all thinking about him. I'll hammer this home as much as I can without just driving y'all crazy about it. But it is a reality. In reality, like I say, a lot of people get depressed this time of the year and they're out in the free. He locked up. Our brother locked up and isolated. And again, he's just done an incredible job thus far, staying in pretty good spirits and the way he's handled this. And that's admirable. But he is just a man. And I it could be very tempting for him to, you know, start feeling some form of despair. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that that's the case. But look, we can do our part. It doesn't take that much to mail the man a damn card. So mail the man a Christmas card. Let him know we're thinking about it, or about him, rather. I'm sorry. Let him know we're thinking about him, especially this time of the year. I'm sure he'll enjoy seeing colorful cards and things with encouraging messages. We got to do what we got to do. It only costs you a damn stamp. Let's do this thing. I'm going to try to keep that going all the way up to Christmas at least. So, okay, it is the Daily Nationalist, which means I got a news story. And I had several I was thinking about doing today, and I decided to go with this one. You know, you go along long enough, and regardless of what they say that promote these things, if you hang around long enough, the mask slips. One of the stories I was thinking about doing that I passed on, and in fact, I probably will wind up doing it. I may even do it on Monday. Is once again yet the umpteenth rendition of the mainstream media is reminding us that Pizzagate is a crazy conspiracy theory that's totally been debunked. Now, regular listeners here at Radio Albion know I did a recent Daily Nationalist show covering a news story where one of the debunkers of Pizzagate was arrested not just with, but having produced violent child rape porn. And when I say child, I'm talking like toddlers and little kids. I'm talking about actual child rape porn. And not just having it in his possession, but producing it. In other words, he was taking part in it. This was one of the debunkers. You can go back and check that show out. Again, I'm probably going to wind up doing that show maybe on Monday. Otherwise, maybe next week. Or I may find out something else to do. But I thought about doing this show, but I didn't. The point is, they continue to debunk. The more they lie, the more they proclaim that it's just not true, the more you just watch and the mask slips. Today's story has to do with abortion. And people such as myself will say that it's satanic in nature. I view modern day abortion as just the modern day version of burning your children alive and sacrificing them to Baal, as it was in the Old Testament of the Bible. And when I remember when I was a young man, I didn't understand what it meant when it said pass through the fire, when God condemned them for having their children pass through fire. I thought it was like a ceremony back then. You know, I read that. I just thought, well, they waved them over and over a fire while chanting something like there was a candle or something. I never would imagine it meant they threw them in there and burned them alive. And then to top it off, most of the time they had a sex orgy while the children were screaming, burning to death. They had a sex orgy, and they did this because they believed it would bring them economic prosperity. Kind of rings true with modern abortion. They murdered the children because they said, well, you can't afford a child right now. This will bring you economic prosperity. And now they'll sit there and poo-poo that and say, oh, you're a religious extremist. But once again, if you wait around and watch long enough, the mask will slip. Our story today comes from RT, and the headline is U.S. Women's Magazine shares advice on, quote, satanic abortion ceremony. Now, like I say, you wait long enough and they wind up confirming what you knew all along. Now, they try to pass this off as, oh, it's some kind of joke, but it's not. A joke. Let's go ahead and get into the story, and I just start rambling, and I'll wind up spoiling the whole thing. So let's go off and get into it. Cosmopolitan magazine has informed its readers how to perform an abortion in a ritualized satanic ceremony through the services of an online clinic named after the mother of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. In a post to its 4.2 million Instagram followers last month, the Women's Glossy presented a series of slides on how to perform the medical procedure as instructed by the teachings of the Satanic Temple, a group that bills itself on its website as, quote, the primary religious satanic organization in the world. Now, granted, most of the moron women that read this and decided to do this, they probably think this is some sort of, you know, just kind of like a funny game. You know, oh, well, this is a joke. Anytime the Satanic Temple thing comes up, it's always portrayed like, oh, well, see, they're just manipulating the quote unquote freedom of religion thing, and they're making a mockery of it. They're just kind of a joke. They're not really about Satan himself. We've seen stories where they've tried to set up student clubs, and it's always tried to be passed off as a joke. And it doesn't matter if you're a moron and think you're going along with this and it's some kind of joke. Doesn't matter. You're bringing condemnation. You are messing with things. You are messing with things that you have no business messing with, and it doesn't matter. Look, if somebody goes off and sticks their arm in a wood chipper just because they're an idiot, they're going to get their arm chopped off as, say, somebody who is suicidal or is high on drugs or whatever and sticks their arm in the wood. The end result is the same. You're going to sit here and basically follow guidance from the quote-unquote Satanic Temple. There's going to be ramifications from this. It also specifically referenced a ceremonial service conducted by the Samuel Alito's mom's satanic abortion clinic. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Alito wrote the ruling in the Dobbs versus Jackson case that last year overturned Roe versus Wade, ending nearly five decades of legal precedent governing abortion in the United States. Now, again, I'm sure some of the morons that participated doing this and have participated will continue to do so. In their mind, they act like it's some kind of like a joke. Can you imagine though, the mindset you would have to have that murdering your child is you play that off as some sort of joke, as this is funny. It's a funny thing. I'm murdering my unborn child and this is a joke. This is some sort of funny thing. when these abortion debates come up, they always try to bring up these ridiculous, like, statistically irrelevant numbers. You know, oh yes, but what if a young girl was like incestuously raped by her own father? Would you people force her? Look, that isn't what happens. That's not what these abortion cases are. They're done, like 99.9999% of them are done because what? They think it's more economically beneficial to murder the child. That's it. In the end, can you imagine having the mindset where you're treating this like it's some sort of game, like it's some sort of joke? In his social media post from November 16th, Cosmopolitan referenced a 37-year-old woman, Jessica, who had performed the procedure. While she's not a Satanist, Jessica decided to incorporate a few ceremonial elements into her solo abortion experience, the magazine wrote. The post also detailed advice on how to observe the Satanic Temple's teachings throughout the abortion ceremony. This included staring into a mirror. Now, here's the ceremony itself. And people think this is a joke. Why does Cosmopolitan find the need to promote this, to tell you all about it, encourage people to do it? What do you think the motivation, if this is some kind of joke, what is the motivation about it? Why do they think that? Why do they feel the need to even promote it? And just said, isn't it? Aren't they always telling us, well, this is just nothing more than a medical procedure? If it's nothing more than a medical, if they really believe that it's nothing more than a medical procedure, then why would they go take this other route and encourage people to perform a satanic ceremony while doing it? You see, again, if you wait long enough, the mask slips and they'll prove what you're saying is correct. This included staring into a mirror while taking an abortion pill and saying, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. The ritual ends with the subject saying, see, subject. See, you're not even a human, you're just a subject. With the subject saying, by my body, my blood, by my will, it is done. Cosmopolitan also suggested in its post to invite loved ones to witness the ceremony and to, quote, light candles or even dress up, whatever makes them feel empowered. So on the one hand, they're trying to convince you this is all some sort of ha-ha funny joke. On another hand, they try to convince you that people who point out that it's satanic are just a bunch of religious kooks. And then finally, they encourage you to actually perform a ceremony. Let me tell you something. Your words have power. The things you want to be careful what comes out of your mouth. You want to be careful what you speak into existence, into your life, into your mind. If you people that get into a really dark place, you know, they have a lot of problems. The fact of the matter is they tell themselves things over and over and over, and that becomes a reality in their mind, and it leads them down to a dark place. Your words have power. The things you say have power over you. You sit here and act like, oh, this is some sort of funny tee-hee-ha-ha game. But the reality is your words have power. By my body, by my blood, by my will, it is done. This is a proclamation that you are not doing it in ignorance. And again, people think this is some sort of game. It's not. This is being done by to convince people to be sure and put a curse on themselves. These people are putting a curse on themselves. They are announcing by their words, they're renouncing any notion that what they're doing is in ignorance. They are proclaiming that they are doing it by their will and by their blood. They are saying, I want to take full responsibility for what I am doing. And I'm, you know, without any denial, I know what I'm doing. They're calling a curse down on themselves. They're not going to be able to come back later and say, I didn't know what I was doing. They spoke these words into existence. They have placed a curse on themselves. And it doesn't matter. Look, it doesn't matter if you think this is some sort of game, if you think it's some sort of joke, it doesn't matter. If you think a contract, if you sign a contract in ignorance, you, well, guess what? when that contact, the time comes for that contract to be enforced on you, and you go to the court and say, well, I didn't understand what I was signing, they're not going to care. They're going to say, you signed the contract, and you're going to be held up to those standards. This is what it means. This is what I'm saying. You got to be careful what you speak. This is a trick. Yeah, it's a trick, but this is literally signing a spiritual contract. The Satanic Temple is officially recognized as a religion by the U.S. government, because of course it is. And as such, it contends that its patients are participating in a religious ritual. That's a key legal distinction, Cosmopolitan noted. TST hopes to leverage its historic push to expand its clinic model into states where abortion is otherwise banned. Separately, the Satanic Temple has also said that it will provide support to its members who may wish to undergo gender reassignment therapy, but face, quote, infringements on their bodily autonomy by government entities at a local, state, or federal level. It adds that ordained ministers of Satan would be available to testify on behalf of members who wish to transition, and that doing so falls under its, quote, third tenet, which states that one's own bodily autonomy is a core and fundamental religious right. So you're supposed to have this impression that this is all just like, you know, legal maneuvering, and you know, they're not really, they don't mean any of this stuff, and it's just, you know, to get around and to use the system and the quote-unquote freedom of religion to you know, manipulate the system. But I'm telling you, words have power. The whole thing of doing this satanic ritual while you're doing the abortion, it doesn't have anything to do with the legal maneuvering. See, that's just to make you think that it's some kind of joke you're participating in. I'm telling you, the whole legal maneuvering thing here at the end we just read, that doesn't have anything to do with sitting there looking and staring into a mirror and calling a curse down on yourself that you're going to be held accounted for. It doesn't have anything to do with that, and yet they promote it. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Well, I had only planned, honestly, to do the one story, and once again, I've fallen into the trap of the Daily Nationalist, to where I incorrectly guess how long, you know, I anticipate a story is going to last. But that's okay, because we're going to stay on the topic of Satanism, and we're going to go over here to slaynews.com. Now, this is an older article. It's from June 10th, 2023. And the headline is, WEF calls for AI to rewrite the Bible and create, quote, religions that are actually correct. A top official with the World Economic Forum has called for religious scripture to be rewritten by artificial intelligence to create a globalized new Bible. Yuval Noah Harari, the senior advisor to the WEF, and its chairman Klaus Schwab, argues that using AI to replace scriptures will create unified religions that are actually correct. Harari, an influential author and professor, made the call while giving a talk on the future of humanity. I'm going to save you the trouble of looking up early life on Yuval Noah Harari. Yes, his early life is what you think it is. He's not going to, and you notice it's always about the Bible. You know, cool, next do the Talmud, but he doesn't do that, does he? It's always about the Bible. It's always... They just can't help it. According to Harari, the power of AI can be harnessed and used to reshape spirituality into the WEF's globalist vision of equality and inclusivism. Inclusivism. Blah, blah, blah. Speaking with journalist Pedro Pinto of Lisbon, Portugal, Harari told the elitist audience, quote, it's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. No, it can't. It takes information and tries to condense it and put it out. It does not create new ideas. It gathers other ideas, other information, and just puts them together. It's just like acting like man can actually create anything. We don't. Man does not create anything new. We take the things that have actually been created and we assemble them into something new. But when you get down to the base elements, these are things that were created beyond us. You see what I'm saying? Yes, you can, you know, say 200 years ago, cars didn't exist and now they do. But we didn't create anything new. We took existing materials from iron to chemicals that we made the plastics out of to all of these other things. And we assembled them into a different thing. but didn't create anything. Maybe a better way to put it is, you didn't create Legos. Now, you might assemble the Legos and create a little plastic castle out of it, but at the end of the day, it's still just a stack of Legos that look like something, or that maybe even perform a certain function, but you didn't create anything new. You didn't make the Legos. You know, going back to this guy's quote here, you know, the printing press, radio, television, they broadcast, they spread the idea, they spread the ideas created by the human brain, by the human mind. They cannot create a new idea. You know, Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? Harari then revealed that he and his allies at the WEF have a solution to the supposed problems he just highlighted. Now, why is it a problem? Why is it a problem to simply reprint what is there and people can read the information and come to their own conclusions? Of course, you're not supposed to have to come to your own conclusion. You're supposed to have the church to guide you and to explain these things. You have a history, a long history of people who have studied this and have come to, you know, okay, this means this, and interpreted and help you to understand these things. You're not really supposed to be left on your own. But see, they have a problem with that. And you're going to, as we get into this, they have the same problem with AI. On the one hand, he sits here and says, this is great. AI is going to somehow come up with a new idea. Again, it's not. It just takes information that's out there and tries to put it together. It doesn't come up with new things. If you said, if you instructed your AI to write a paragraph explaining the theory of relativity to you, it's not inventing the theory of relativity. It's going to go out there and scan a bunch of different writings and articles, and it's going to spit those back at you. Now, he says AI is going to create this new religion, this new Bible that's correct because it's going to create a new idea. But you see, he's going to give that away here in a minute. But the first clue is, he sees a problem in people reading the Bible and interpreting and coming through this information themselves. AI can create new ideas. It can even write a new Bible, he declared. Throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by superhuman intelligence, by a non-human entity, he added. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. Just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years. Now, again, it's worth noting here that he uses on this one, on the one hand, he'll talk about religions like using a blanket term. But when it comes to being specific, he points to the Christian Bible. He's not pointing to the religious texts that his own people use. But yet he wants to fool you into thinking that he's talking about all religions. And yet again, it's not without reason that when it's time to get specific, he uses the Bible. Harari noted in another recent gathering that software like ChatGPT has mastered human languages and can harness that function to influence culture, the Times of Israel said. For thousands of years, prophets and poets and politicians have used language and storytelling in order to manipulate and to control people and to reshape society, he said, according to the paper. See, there's the projection. You look for it and they'll tell you what they're about. Not that you really need to figure it out. They're not even being circumspect about it any longer. He says, thousands of years, prophets, poets, and politicians. I'll leave politicians out of there because I don't think they have the same standing here. I think that's a category error. But prophets have used language and storytelling in order to manipulate and control the people and reshape society. No, they were speaking the truth. Maybe, see, it's for someone like this guy, the idea that someone was actually speaking the truth, that is a foreign language to him. He cannot understand it. He cannot imagine that somebody was simply seeking out the truth and trying to understand the world around them and to speak it to the people, whether they be prophets or poets. I'm leaving politicians out of it. That's a category error that he slipped in there to confuse and muddy the waters. Prophets and poets sought to understand the world around them and to speak it to the people. You see, the truth is a foreign language to someone like this. All he can understand is where he's coming from. I always say a thief will always assume somebody is out to steal from him. A liar will always assume that somebody is lying to them. People will always project their own values and beliefs onto everybody else, and they'll give themselves away. He assumes that nobody's actually seeking the truth. In fact, everybody is out instead to manipulate, control, and reshape society. This tells us a whole lot more about this guy than it does about prophets and poets and the like. Now he goes on to say, now AI is likely to be able to do it. And once it can, it doesn't need to send killer robots to shoot. I don't even understand where he's going with that. We're talking about ideas. We're talking about ChatGPT. Nobody's talking about killer robots. See, he's trying to make this effort to act like, oh, if you're worried about what their intentions with AI is, then you just think the Terminator movie is going to become real or something. Ha ha ha. See, once again, this is all a joke. It's all funny. Ha ha ha. It can get humans to pull the trigger. Makes you wonder what their intentions are, doesn't it? Harari also said that contrary to what some conspiracy theories assume, you don't really need to implant chips in people's brains in order to control them or to manipulate them, the paper noted. He also warned that, now here's where we get where they're really going with this. On the one hand, he says it's going to be great. AI is going to be able to create new ideas all on its own. It's just self-aware. It's going to create new ideas, and it's going to write a new religion, a new Bible that's actually correct. But then he warns that, quote, we need to act quickly before AI gets out of our control, and that governments must immediately ban the release into the public domain of any more revolutionary AI tools before they are made safe, the paper added. Now, that tells us where they're going. You see, on the one hand, he says AI acting independently and all on its own, because it's so sentient, it's going to create a new idea and write a new Bible, and it's all going to be correct. But, however, before that happens, we got to get control of it to make sure that it produces the correct ideas, that it's under our control, that you don't go out there and get things that, you know, go against the narratives we create. On the one hand, he wants you to think AI is going to create a new idea and it's all going to be factually correct and it's going to do it completely organically. And on the other hand, they admit that we've got to make sure that it can't get out of the bounds of censorship, out of the bounds of what we want it to say. Again, the mask slips, and again, the lie is there for everybody to see. Harari frequently pushes ideas that involve humanity being replaced by machines because he hates humanity. It's a reflection of Satan. Satan hates humanity, by the way. As Slate News previously reported, Harari gloated last year that, quote, we just don't need the vast majority of the population in today's world. According to Harari, most of the general public has now become redundant and will be of little use to the global elite in the future. Harari argues that modern technologies like artificial intelligence make it possible to replace the people. If you go back to the middle of the 20th century, it doesn't matter if you're in the United States with Roosevelt, or you're in Germany with Hitler, or even in the USSR with Stalin. And you think about building the future, then your building materials are those millions of people who are working hard in the factories and the farms and the soldiers, Harari said. You need them. Now fast forward to the early 21st century when we just don't need the vast majority of the population, he added. The future is about developing more and more sophisticated technology like artificial intelligence and bioengineering. Most people don't contribute anything to that except perhaps for their data. And whatever people are still doing, which is useful, these technologies increasingly will make redundant and will now make it possible to replace the people. You have to ask yourself, what is the inner working of a person like this that they hate humanity that much? I mean, a real actual vibe. I mean, we all get sick of people. I'll say, man, I get so sick of people. You know, people are so stupid. You know, I look at the world around me and I'll gripe about people. But I don't hate humanity. I mean, that just you have times of frustration, you know, when you look at people and bang your head against the wall because they can be so stupid. But you don't hate humanity. That's not a natural state to be in. But this person, it's a whole different thing. You're reading here. One thing you take away, what this person is telling you about themselves, is that they really, truly hate humanity. They look at it, they look and envision a world where most people simply don't exist, and they're sitting around at the top calling the shots with a bunch of slave robots. It's a bunch of gibberish, by the way. It has more to do with, you know, them and the way they view the world and themselves than it has to do with reality. Whenever I read these stories where they talk about AI is just going to replace the vast majority of people, and you don't need this, guy says you're not going to be needed. We can replace you with artificial intelligence and bioengineering. Well, is bioengineering and artificial intelligence going to fix your freaking toilet when it breaks? No, it's not. Is artificial intelligence going to plumb your house? No, it isn't, dipshit. I'm sorry, I just get so fed up. These people that live in this fantasy, well, this guy goes around in a bubble and he flies on his private jet and sits there and puts on a microphone and spews his gibberish. And he, you know, he doesn't even have the intelligence to sit around and think how many people make this possible. Artificial intelligence isn't going to fix your private jet. And you keep running your mouth long enough, the guy fixing your private jet just might accidentally forget and leave a wrench in that sumbitch. This is just nonsense. He sits there and talks about Roosevelt, Hitler, and Stalin, and they had to have these people. Well, guess what? You're going to have people. It's like the same mindset is reflected when you look at, you know, the West losing the war with Russia. And these people, I read articles where people in Washington, D.C. said, well, it doesn't matter if Russia's actually winning the battles on the ground. What matters is that we control the narrative. In other words, it's social media is what matters. Yeah, but we're really winning because we're making Putin look bad on Facebook. This is the type of fake reality that these people live in. They want to manipulate. They want to control. They want to deceive. Oh, AI is going to create a new Bible, but not before we make sure it says the right thing. We can't have AI questioning something like the Holocaust now, can we? We can't have that. We've got to make sure we've got it under control first. Governments need to make sure that we got AI locked in so it says the right ideas. Then it's not going to create new ideas, is it? You want the AI to generate your ideas. And then you want to sell it to the people that AI came up with this all on its own. All as a part of your attempts to manipulate, to control, to lie, and to deceive the people. It's not hard. They will tell you about themselves. Read these things. This stuff I hear, these articles come out and it's supposed to be kind of outrage porn for you, where you look at it and you're just supposed to be outraged. But don't approach these things like that. Never approach things emotionally. I say that and I wind up, you know, we all get emotional. You know, I just called this guy dipshit and that was probably not necessary. But still, don't approach these things emotionally, because if you can read through this, as we just have, these people will tell you all about themselves. They will tell you about their actual intentions, and they'll tell you what they are all about. He threw that killer robot thing out there because they want there to be an element of fear when it comes to artificial intelligence. They're the ones that fear it. That's why this guy is so frantic about governments need to get it under control. We need to get this under control. Because again, all artificial intelligence is going to do is gather the information that's out there and spit it back out to you. Again, if you could tell artificial intelligence to examine the alleged historical numbers of the Holocaust when it comes to cremations, for instance, and tell me if that is actually possible. And a free artificial intelligence is going to say, well, no, that's absolute gibberish. It's impossible with the cremation technology they had at that time. That's the sort of thing they don't want you getting. All artificial intelligence is going to do is gather up the information and spit it back to you, put it together and spit it back to you. A free AI isn't going to hurt anything except for these people and their narratives. That's why they seek to control it. It's going to write a new Bible, but not before we tell it what to say. So it's not, in the end, a new idea. It's their ideas. And this tells us AI isn't something necessarily to be worried. AI isn't your concern. Your concern, your real threat, is from people like this, World Economic Forum. They're telling you openly all about themselves, all their intentions. When these people sit here and talk about, oh, the vast majority of humanity is just not necessarily The part that goes unsaid is, then what do you plan to do with them? What are your intentions? What are you going to do with all these quote unquote unnecessary and needless and redundant people? Note the dehumanizing language here. You're just redundant. The only thing you might be necessary for is your data, whatever the hell that means. Then what are you going to do with them? That tells you AI isn't the threat to humanity. These people are the threat to humanity. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you, even though it wasn't very lighthearted, hope you, as you can tell, I kind of just have given up on the idea of finding something lighthearted to do on Fridays. I've thrown that out the window. I'm sorry, Sven. We'll wrap up on that note. I do hope you managed to enjoy your weekend. I hope we'll see you back here next week for Monday through Friday. We have great content here on Radio Elbin, in my opinion, if I do say so myself. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.